Welcome to the Caligo Universe, where I, Miles Brown, will be introducing a brand that wants to create a safe space for non-believers and new to the faith baby Christians in Christ to ask questions about the Bible and have them answered by a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. To support this brand and our vision to spread the true gospel of Jesus Christ, please visit caligo.store. It will open at the end of January. The brand prays for your safety. Amen. Now to our show. Yo, welcome back to the Caligo Podcast. I'm your host, Miles Brown, and once again, I got my boy.
Coach Ferg, you know I'm in the field, but, you know, obviously, with all the craziness and things going on, we just, you know, like I said, we felt it was only right for us to have a conversation on this nonsense going on in the world today, or in our world in the U.S.
So, clearly, we're talking about the Trump, I guess, rally that went a little left at the Capitol. And give me your thoughts on it. Like, when you're looking at the news coverage and everything, what do you see?
Well, honestly, man, there's a big difference between a rally, right? And said we got to be very, very careful with our terminology, because it seems like when these things happen, right, these things occur, we seem to, rationalize it in a certain way when there's a certain skin color involved, and you know, with a certain age group involved, and there's a certain look and appeal involved. It said, the thing is, if President Obama had something like this, where people broke into something that has been, I dare use the word sacred, we wouldn't say it was a rally, right? We would say it was terrorism. We would say it was an attack, right? Yeah. And more so than the world. They say, obviously, we live in a crazy world. But in my opinion, I'm just thinking about how, you know, we can have the same situation, the same scenario, the same type of violence, or the same type of movement, same type of actions, and we change the words that we use. So I want to be very, very careful with the words we use. That was not a rally. That was an act of terrorism. That was something to cause fear. That was something that, and honestly, if you look at some of the things that we saw, it wasn't a rally where, you know, they were attacking people. And then you had people out there also smiling and taking pictures as if it was something that was funny that was going on. So let's call it what it is. It was an act of terrorism and trying to invoke fear. And honestly, showing that they don't care, you know, what the situation, the scenario is, because they have a certain, I don't know, we call it privilege, we call it protection. You know, that's my frustration. I don't care what the rules are. I just don't want them to change depending on who's playing, right? And that's where my frustration comes from. I have no problem with the world being evil, because the thing is, we've spoke on this, brother. You know, the world has always been evil. It's always had terrible things and had villains and people that hurt other people. But I think that the terminology that we use is very, very, very selective, right? And that's something that's frustrated me, brother. So honestly, man, I said, you my brother, we're the same age, but I look up to you as far as, you know, your foundation that you have in faith. And I just got to speak on my confusion. And I want to ask you, you know, how should I feel, you know? Because I guarantee you, if it was a bunch of Hispanic people, it was a bunch of African-American people, it was a bunch of Asian people, it was a bunch of Indian people, a bunch of people from different places, and somehow we turn, you know, them breaking into something that is, dare I say, sacred to our you know, our nation, right? And mm-hmm. It's a joke for them. It's a pass for them, because the thing is, like I said, not once did they use the word terrorist, not once did they use the word violent or rioting. They simply said it's a rally. So I want to be very, very careful. And even you use that word, right? I want to, you know, it said get your. I want your opinion on it, brother. And honestly, man,
I'm gonna jump in. So yes, when I say rally, I'm using their terminology. I'm not gonna infer anything. I'm gonna say this was a rally that they pulled together, and then at this rally, an act of terrorism occurred.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Because I'm not gonna paint it like everybody that was there knew that that was gonna happen. You feel me? I feel like
Okay.
there were some people that knew that they were going to do anything that day that Trump said to do. You know what I'm saying? And some people were absolutely overzealous. I guarantee it. You know what I'm saying? Some people were wired at this thing, to say the least, to say the least. You know, so I think the police had the order of, like you said, because these are our white boys, because, you know, the nation is doing their thing, we're going to let them act up. But they let them act up, like you said, a little more than what they would have ever let anyone of color at that same in that same situation. If it was masses of colored people, I'm not saying it's going the same way if them people do the same thing.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
And I guess, you know, I can't speak in an unfair, right? So I say I've only been able to see certain clips and certain images and things like that. And obviously we want to make sure to say I don't know if anyone that went down there in person. I said I do have, you know, friends and mentors and things like that that, you know, may have known some people and things like that, but I haven't had those conversations yet. But I'll let you know that, you know, the reason I went straight to terrorism is because one of the main images I saw was a mob of people that did not have any passes or any type of, they forced their way into this place and they chased this police officer or they chased this, you know, security guard, whatever he was, they chased him up the steps. So, you know, in my mind, I don't remember seeing any images like that when, that young man lost his life when they put their knee on his neck. I don't remember seeing anybody, you know, chasing someone in a government building up steps when they shot that boy in his chest multiple times. It was a shotgun shot, but they shot him three times just to make sure. A father and son, a former DA. I'm just trying to think of a scenario or a situation I can compare to this directly, and there are no comparisons yet. You know, I said the verbiage that we use, you know, so obviously you know, maybe they did go down there to rally and push for Trump, and maybe they took it too far. But I'm just wondering, you know, when they shot those people with bean bags and gas and rubber bullets in front of those churches, did they take it too far? What was the difference there? Because I don't think there was one, you know, obviously there were some lives that were lost and had things had to get lethal, but it got lethal when they were chasing people up steps, when they were actually breaking in windows and trying to peek her head into the, to, it was, you know, we really got to think about the laws and rules and regulations. And the thing is, I'm not a gray area guy. I get it. Laws and rules and regulations. I'm just very, very disappointed that those laws, rules, and regulations, the perspective change seems to change so quickly, right? Think about that, brother. We live in a world where we have these laws and rules and regulations.
But I don't think they changed. I think that we're just witnessing the actual standard when you see it. I don't think anything's changed. I live knowing that this is what it is, no matter what. I'm more afraid that some people are just waking up that this is what it is. I'm like, dang, y'all late. Y'all real late. Y'all real, 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 real late.
I would, you know, man,
Because
I'm speechless.
listen,
Yeah, I'm listening,
listen,
man.
to know your history is to know where you're going and what you up against. So the fact that most black people don't really research their history and understand certain things, a lot of times later on in life, these things are a shock, because they're like, oh, the whole world is kind of skewed against me in a way. And it's like, yeah, that's what all of this is, you know. And it's like, it's not even like this crazy awakening. It's just more so understanding that it's always going to be different because you're not in power. And
And you know, before you continue, because brother, you're going down. I'm with you, man. Wherever you're taking this, I kind of envision where you're taking it. I did want to speak on this though, real quick. And that's a two-edged sword, right? Because the thing is, for them, it's a shock to them, but honestly, for us, it's been our norm, right? So imagine us in a world where people that look like us die for no reason. People that, you know, look like us don't own the buildings that, you know, and I said NBA players and all this other stuff, but how many black coaches do we have? How many black owners do we have? You know, so we have actually started to, you know, normalize our people getting killed and being treated differently and the rules and laws and regulations changing for us and other people. We've normalized that, brother, because the thing is, like you said, we probably have a ton of people out there or black people out there that are saying themselves, this is just another day in the neighborhood. And that's even a worse feeling, brother. Because the thing is, we're starting to normalize our kids not being able to go down the street safely, not because of gangs, not because of drugs, but because of people that have the power to manipulate the laws and rules and regulations in their favor. Yeah, man.
And that's what I'm saying. We've always been up against that. I don't understand what's happening is Trump allowed the veil to be broken for a while so people could actually see the witchcraft and manipulation that they have been under by being under the TV programming, which allowed you to be deceived by the people that actually controlled every decision you ever made in your life subconsciously. You know, so then when you realize, oh, these people have a favorite people that they really, really messing with, and those people seem to have the better positions and the easier way to get funding and the blah 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 and this, that, and it just goes on and on and on. But it's not to say that being here doesn't have its advantages, but you have to always 100% remember that the advantage here is still very drastically skewed in a different favor. It doesn't mean that it can't be done. It just means you have to be realistic about what you're up against and what starting really looks like, instead of, oh, I'm gonna just go out there and do everything that I see that the people in power are doing. Like, no, you're gonna have to figure out a way to do it in a way that manipulates the system for you somehow. You know, like, you're not gonna be able to walk in a bank, get a loan, do this, do that. You may have to figure it out your trunk first. You know, you may have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, go door to door selling your services until you got a route. You may have to do some things that people that can just buy a business, they don't have to go out there and do all of that. They can say, dang, I want a plumbing business, man. What should I do today? I'm gonna go out and research the top plumbing businesses in my area and make them an offer they can't refuse. You see what I'm saying?
So,
Like, that's how it
so,
goes.
so what you're so what you're saying is, you know, and honestly, like I said, we fellas and we try our best to problem solve, right? We and what you're saying is so powerful because it's literally about power. It has nothing to do with who you are, what you do. It's about putting
Power,
people that look like us in a position of power. Right, like I said, we you know, and people kind of you know, and I said I don't want to take away from anybody's fight, whatever your fight is, however you want to fight, however you want to do it. But the frustrating thing for me was that we had all these talks about changing the syrup bottles from Aunt Jemima to something else, and we had conversations about painting people's names in the
listen,
roads, yellow
all of that is worthless.
and that.
All of that is worthless, because if you don't want the owner to make his bottle in the image that he want, then you go out and you make the bottle in the image that you want. You see what I'm saying? And like I said, even if that means the community comes together and all puts up some bread so he can go get the license, or and then move into a building and have the manufacturing set up to where he can produce, or even like purchase some type of manufacturing in somebody's warehouse already. You know what I'm saying? And like have the batches made there. And then you start putting out our own black-owned syrups, you know, and trying to put them in places that will that we know they're that they're at, you know.
So,
But
in your opinion, the power isn't necessarily in fighting for the rules and laws and regulations to change. The power
yeah,
is in us ownership. We need to
that's
own.
where we're getting screwed at
Yeah.
because the people in power want us to beg them for something. Because whatever they give you, you'll be satisfied with. Or you, matter of fact, you won't be satisfied with, no matter what they give you. So they're going to give you the least amount of bit they got to keep you in line.
So they'll kill people that look like us, and they'll put our names in the street, and they'll blame a few people, like the syrup bottles and a couple of the burger spots and a couple of the pizza spots. But nothing will change until we put ourselves in a position of power. And the thing is, I always feared, not feared, but I also wanted to speak on it and say, well, in your opinion, brother. I said, people say, well, why don't black people just revolt? Why don't black people just get together in civil war? Why don't we just do this and that? Why do we just take it? And something that I always struggled with, especially when I was younger, was, and foolishly, I always thought that Malcolm X was the man, and Martin Luther King, I thought that he was doing things positively, but I didn't think what he was doing was working. And I know that we're having a special type of podcast. We just want to talk about things worldly, but I'm so over the world's rules, brother. And that's why I tell you, when we have these talks about the man above, we talk about our power source, we talk about faith, we talk about the heroes and the villains in the Bible. It provides comfort, because the thing is, this world doesn't even seem, brother. It's almost as if there's two worlds, and the world that I've found myself most comfortable in. Let me not say that, because I still make mistakes. I'm still going to sin. I'm still figuring it out. But the world that has become kind of like an escape from this nonsense has been that word. So I didn't know if you had any words on that to speak on that, to say, well, why are black people so peaceful? And why are black people so? And I like to think that a lot of us are tapped into, the man above in some way, shape, and form, right? What do you think?
When it comes to that, I believe there's only one school of thought, and it is right now we don't really understand that the chains are off, you know. It's our mentalities and our minds that have been truly corrupted past anything. And until a number of us can clean and can locate the network of people who are on the right path and on the right track, that's when those ecosystems in the black community will be built, and we can share our knowledge to continue to progress, to elevate out of our situation that we're in now. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't wait for the people in power to give us an environment where we're going to succeed and get all of the best knowledge to overthrow them. You know, we the people on the outside have to get hungry enough to actually want to investigate how to take over the power that be. You know, and that's all my life mission has been, to figure out how to come into power. And the one thing you need money. You need, first and foremost, you need a relationship with God to even know how to even get the money, to even know even what to do with it once you get it, and to understand where to put it so that it can grow passively, you know, to where you don't you get to a place where you don't have to worry about how you pay your rent. Your interest from your bank accounts pays your rent, pays your life, pays all of that. And everything else from there is just a plus.
So, do you think that and something somebody speaks on this, his name is Pharrell, and it was in a song, but while you were speaking, brother, two things I want you to speak on. Pharrell said, "You should own what you labor. You should own what you labor. You should own what you labor." It was a verse in a song he had and everything like that. But while you were talking, all I could think about was like, you should own what you labor. So we have laws and rules and regulations that don't have to be abided by the people that are in positions of power. We have laws and rules and regulations that have, or we have a scenario or a situation in a lifestyle that we've don't been born into, and we've normalized people like us getting pulled over and losing their lives, not getting, because they were doing anything wrong, not because they were found illegal, but because somebody pulls up on them and they don't match, they're not comfortable with their skin tone. They lose their lives and nothing happens to them. And now we're speaking of, truly taking the chains off. So where do you think the chains were taken off? Because I don't remember the date exactly, but what was it? 18, what was the day that the slaves were released?
I don't even know, and I hate to tell you, I don't care the exact date. I just care that it happened. I care that it's over, and I care that there's still ramifications echoing even in this generation from what was done back then.
And
That's what I care about.
that's why I want to speak to you, because the thing is, if I think that they just physically took the chains off of us,
But that's what I'm saying.
mentally
Mentally.
we have still chains are still on, brother. Chains are still on, because the thing is, look at all these NBA players and these sports players. I hate to use them as an example, but I'm a huge fan of the NBA players, and I'm loving it, and I think what they're doing is beautiful. But think about the millions and millions and millions of dollars that they've made, and think about the lack of ownership in the league. Think about all the people that leave the league and they go broke. The thing is, we are still chained, brother. We are still chained. Our mindsets are still chained. We're still looking for massa to give us a handout. We're looking for massa to stop the wrongs and to care about us more than they care about themselves. We're looking for massa to put us in position where we can be masters, and that doesn't work. It hasn't worked, and will never work. What
But that's why I pose us getting it from the mud and you using group economics
Yes,
and
sir.
being huh?
I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I truly believe that those are the tenets that if the average black person adopts and makes their core value, the neighborhoods and places that we live in will be sought after instead of looked down upon. Because when you take care of yourself and you keep things up and you understand that if your economy where you at is growing and bubbling, then that means that's good for the person who's next to you. Because that person is bringing trade and commerce and money through to this location. So if I can siphon some of that or even add to it, now we both win it. So once the neighborhood of group economics is working effectively, that whole neighborhood could easily be owned and operated fully by one or two families. You know what I'm saying? And we could go ahead.
I wanted to ask you to, so you know what, so I know that we don't care about the date, right? But I wanted to share with this with you, and I don't know if you probably have, but we use the word Black Wall Street and things like that. But you want to know what was the interesting thing after the slaves were released?
What?
So the slaves, when they were released, remember, they were slaves, right? So they were laborers, and they were doing work that the masters and the owners at the time, they weren't doing. So you had all of these amazing and skilled laborers. You had these black people that, might have continued to pick cotton, but they picked cotton for their own space. You had these farmers, and you had these wellers, and you had these home builders. And you can think about all these people, all these black people in the South eventually were free. So a lot of them actually started to own the same things that they were doing, and they were charging for it, right? And I know that there was a, obviously Rosewood, and there's a lot of different towns and things like that that they try to just sweep under the rug and say a few black people died. But I think there was almost like an ecosystem where we had established black, people that owned the things that they labored, they owned the things that they, were doing. They were making all of this money. And if I'm not mistaken, there was, I don't know if it was the government, I don't know if it was the locals, I don't know if it was just the slave owners came back and said, "Look, you're not going to own your things."
The Tulsa Race Massacre.
Yes, sir. You know what it was, brother. Wow.
Oh yeah, the Tulsa Race Massacre, because Tulsa, Oklahoma, I mean, those people were creating, like you said, Black Wall Street. You know, things were bustling, and they had a real, like, they had group economics working for them. You know, the dollar right now in the Black community only circulates like 3 minutes before it leaves the Black community. But if you go to like a Jewish dollar, that dollar may circulate for weeks before it leaves and goes to a different nationality. So these are things that we have to think about when we talk about coming up. Because, yeah, one or two of us can get the big house and we out there and we living good. But if we truly want an economy and a beautiful lifestyle where our children are amongst Black people that are doing really, really well, and we're amongst people that look like us, and, you know, we all are working in harmony, and nobody's really creating a violent space because there's so much financial growth going on that everybody can get a little piece where they fit in, as long as they develop and bring a skill, you know. So it's like, that's what I want to worry about more so than what's going on with the Trump rallies or terrorism or whatever, because at the end of the day, it doesn't fix us. Even if we get them to stop doing all that crazy stuff, where does that leave us?
And you know, that's one thing I want to make sure there's a difference, right? We don't want to take over. We just want equal share, and not even.
No. See, it doesn't work like that. You can't want to be a king. You can't want to be in power and not understand that you're going to have to overthrow the person. There is no kumbaya. Let's work together. Either somebody wins or somebody loses.
So you're saying that we're almost at the point where we're beyond the point. We're at the point that if our survival and the people that we care about and the people that look like us care about us, we're at the point where we don't have a choice anymore.
Right.
There's no more choice. Is there anything in the Bible that speaks to, you know, let's say, because the thing is, obviously, we want to do it right. We want to do it peacefully. We don't want to hurt other people. But at the same time, you know, the thing is, explain overthrow in his words, because overthrow in my world says,
Let's
go march down there too and see how nice and how many pictures they want to take of us when we have weapons and things in our hands. Because remember, I told you there's the goals of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King were similar, but the way that they went about those particular goals are very different. So just speak on that, brother.
I guess what I'm saying is,
by any means necessary.
No. No, because it's not really our battle to fight. And I think that's the biggest issue that we have as Black people, is realizing that this thing that permeates our day just by being Black and waking up colored and understanding what's against us. One of the things that God would love for you to really understand is, let that burden go. If you truly are following God and letting him take you where you're going to go, his provisions will supersede, his favor and grace over your life will supersede any roadblock that the enemy put in your way. It'll be like it's not even really there. Because when you come to that obstacle, you won't be saying, oh my God, this obstacle. You'll be like, ooh, I can't wait to see how God pulled me out of this. Because the power will flow that much to where you'll be connected enough to understand that nothing can really truly stop you, you know, because
nothing can truly stop him.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I think I feel like, you know, through history, our people have always tried to do certain things. And obviously, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that fear that, right? Because, you know, like I said, when they let the slaves go and they had this huge, you know, economic, you know, we had this economic value with Black people, you know, we still unfortunately couldn't truly free ourselves from the nonsense. And I say that we had all of the things that we needed right then and there, but we didn't have that faith in the power source that could have really, really taken us where he wanted to take us to. So, wow.
And I'll leave you with this. God says in the Old Testament, leave her, flee from Babylon, come from out of her, you know. And like you said, like I've said plenty of times, America is just modern day Babylon, spiritual.
So I want to ask you this, and people are going to take this literally. When I say, "Oh, flee from the U.S." No,
No.
if we read between the lines, I want to ask you this because I feel like this now when you say that, is Babylon a mindset?
Yeah. It's a sin-ridden condition. So God is saying, remove yourself from how the world of Babylon and their society deems acceptable to live, and listen to me. And when you listen to God, he makes you clean. And all of the trappings of Babylon don't affect you.
I said we made a joke last time and said anything under the sun is
Right.
not new for him, right? And it said all the answers we need are actually in the book. And all you have to do is pick it
Exactly.
up and read it. Amen.
So
Amen, brother.
thank y'all so much for
Yeah.
tuning into the Caligo podcast. I just want this conversation to kind of change your perspective on what's going on. That because you're only seeing the surface level of it. You're not seeing the spiritual principalities and demons that are raging in this nation to try to get you to be filled with hate and rage and anger towards your fellow man. Even if your fellow man and enemy is against you, God says in the Bible over and over, that's not your battle. That's his. We need to focus on his purpose for us being here. And when we're confronted with the evils, we move according to his word. So stop.
Brother, this is so powerful, man. And before you close it out, I do want to say everybody that's listening, people, leave us comments, obviously, Kill Legal Podcast, message, email, call, and let's have these conversations and discussions. Because the thing is, one thing is for certain, I feel like it's not just us that feel like this. So I said, we're not, limited thing. We're speaking as black men, but anybody wants to call in and have a conversation, if you have some words of wisdom, if you have some words of motivation, if you have questions and things like that about stuff that me and my brother speak about, or just make sure you leave us comments, message. Miles, can you tell them where they can reach
Yes,
out? And
Father.
we definitely want to continue this conversation because it seems like this isn't the end of the journey. This is definitely
They
just the
can catch
beginning.
us at Twitter, Kiligo Podcast at Twitter, if they want to message any questions or get a hold of us.
Absolutely. And then where can they catch the podcast at, and also be able to listen in and tune in with us?
Right now, the podcast is going at least twice a week. Wednesday, for sure, Bible study for sinners, and Monday is normally business casual. And if I can do one or two other shows during the week, I'll do those and put those out as well. But I'm only promising like at
Amen.
least two.
I said, yeah, we are still all in our journeys and things like that, but we appreciate you all listening with us, and we do look forward to those comments because this is the discussion that cannot stop. It can't.
So thank y'all so much for tuning in. Peace that surpasses understanding. We out.